Actors don't become actors because they're brimming with self-confidence. An actor's burning ambition, when you think about it, is to spend as much time as possible pretending to be somebody else. For those of us lucky or unstable enough to become professional performers, the uncertainty about who we really are only increases. No matter how great the acceptance, adulation, and accumulation of wealth, gnawing at you always is the deep-seated belief that you're a fake, a phony. Even if you can't bullshit your way through whatever job you're working on now, you better prepare for the likelihood that you're never going to get another one. In the face of all evidence to the contrary, this is exactly how I felt about my own career in 1990. Throughout the 80s, I had worked incessantly, and the rewards had been enormous. Achieving that level of acceptance, getting to the top of the mountain, so to speak, had been arduous, but there were so many new highs on the way up that it felt more like celebration than sweat. Staying there, however, maintaining that foothold, was an ordeal. A large part of my success was a result of the two franchises I had stumbled into, the twin phenomena of Family Ties and the Back to the Future series. They offered me financial security and the guarantee that I could reprise the roles of both Alex Keaton and Marty McFly more or less indefinitely. This left me free to experiment and accept riskier roles for less money. So when Light of Day, Bright Lights, Big City, or Casualties of War failed to perform at the box office, it was hardly the end of the world. I'd go back to my television series in the fall and at some point be able to climb back into the time machine. But by the summer of 1990, all that had changed. The TV series had wrapped for good, the Back to the Future sequels had been released and were already on their way to video. My cockiness had morphed into caution. I just didn't feel comfortable finishing any job without a contract for another in hand. Without the safety net of Family Ties and Back to the Future, the stakes were greater now than they'd ever been. If the new project meant time away from my family, that had to be weighed against the reality that I now had a family. That hoary old phrase, the lifestyle to which they had become accustomed, suddenly had meaning for me. This wasn't a time for resting on my laurels or sitting on my ass. This was a time to get while the getting was good. Who knows, maybe I'd sensed that it wouldn't last forever, that the other shoe was about to drop. Could it be possible that I had somehow intuited that my career clock was ticking? Unlikely. This keep your head down and keep moving mentality had always been, as far back as I could remember, a major part of my personality, my modus operandi. Even as a kid, I lacked the faith required to be still. Maybe it was because I was undersized, or because my dreams were oversized, but I'd always relied on my ability to elude, evade, and anticipate any obstacle or potential bully. It is one of the great ironies of my life that only when it became virtually impossible for me to keep my body from moving would I find the peace, security, and spiritual strength to stand in one place. I couldn't be still until I could literally no longer keep still.